fucking blit.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 106 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend and co-host, Morgan Richards, a.k.a. Mo Dick in the rap circles.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and we're going back to the roots... Bloody roots of heavy metal.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Of all. I knew you were going to go for that because it's the easiest one to go for, right? But anyway, this week's guest, as you might have seen, if you don't know, it's unbelievable. This week is metal riff legend Max Cavalera. Unbelievable.
I don't think anyone was expecting this, but I'm absolutely living for it. So Max Cavalera, the Brazilian metal god and genius behind such iconic bands as Soulfly, Sepultura, Nailbomb, and so many others, is with us not only to look back and uncover brain-melting stories from his legendary career, but to tell us all about the return of his insane supergroup, Killer Be Killed.
Yes, what a group it is. It features members of Dillinger Escape Plan, Max, obviously, from Soulfly, one of the guys from Mastodon.
Troy Sanders.
And the drummer from Converge. Mm. So what a bloody band. And the record is amazing. I've really, really enjoyed it. Been a good couple of listens over the couple of weeks since we spoke to Max. And it's just... This podcast keeps getting madder because we keep having people on that I never expect, right? Because, yeah. Like, I kind of expect people in, you know, what used to be my scene when I was in the Blackout or whatever. Like, I kind of expect those people to be up for it. But then when we get, like, these legends who want to come on and then, like, fucking next minute me and you are on, like, face-to-face Zoom call with Max Cavalera, the... That's mental. Like, it's literally bonkers. And we've just done another one recently. And again, it's just, I can't believe they've want to talk to us. I can't believe. So again, thank you very much to Emma Van Dyke for sorting out Max. We really, really enjoyed it. He was awesome. And one of the maddest things we ever find out is Max has never owned a mobile phone.
Yeah.
What a chat.
He's going to get into that. And it's such a funny and hilarious and insightful conversation. And as Sean said, things just keep going madder. And I'm absolutely love every second of it. But of course, Killer Be Killed have just released their second full-length studio album titled Reluctant Hero, available now on Nuclear Blast. So go and check that out. Pick up a copy if you haven't already. I know when you say the members of the supergroup, it's hard to imagine what the hell this band is going to sound like because all their other projects are so different from each other. But trust me, I've listened to it a bunch as well. It's insane. It works beautifully. They complement each other with all the different elements. And Max is going to tell us how really this project came all about and its return, including his last four decades of insane road stories, his friendships with everybody from Lemmy to Fred Durst, Corey Taylor, Chino from Deftones, his passion for metal after all these years, incorporating his family, Brazilian tribal sounds, his dreadlocks, and the answer to one rumour I was desperate to ask him. So it's going to blow you away who the hell thought Max Cavalera would be a guest on Sapnin Podcast.
Not me. Not me. Not me, but here we are. Thank you very much to Max Cavalera. It was such a real good chat, and it was so nice to see him and speak to him. And I kind of crossed paths with him before. I think it was 2007 Puckle Pop in Belgium. The Blackout were playing, and Soulfly were playing. And the Blackout had played earlier in the day, so the boys in the band had been consuming alcohol all day. So Bob and Gavin were a little bit tipsy by the time we were watching Soulfly. So we watched Soulfly for like from the front or whatever, and then as they finished, like we went backstage past them, and Gavin was so drunk he was determined to get Bob a photograph with the guitarist from Soul Flight, right? And Bob liked him, but it wasn't to the point where like, oh, I need a photo with him.
Yeah,
but Gavin was determined, so Gavin's blotto runs up to him from behind as he's walking away with his guitar as he's walked off stage. This fella's played a whole gig with a backpack on as well now, by the way. Gavin runs up to him, we have a photo, my friend. So there's an awkward photo somewhere of Bob with the guitarist from Soulfly, and neither of them want to be in that photo. But they were awesome that time. But yes, check out Killer Be Killed, check out Soulfly, because I know some people listening to this would have never heard Soulfly. Check out Sepultura if you've never heard Sepultura. It's mental. I'm just absolutely chuffed with this. So, yeah, thanks again, Max. Fucking brilliant. Thank you very much to his son for sorting out the Zoom call for us as well.
Yeah. So. But just before we get into the thick of it, just a couple of things we want to mention. Of course, if you're new to listening to this, then please subscribe wherever and give us a follow on the social media pages at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, that's at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
A lot of people have been tagging us in their Spotify. Is it Discovery? Recovery?
It's not Recovery, is it?
Surely a Spotify
playlist of the year or something.
Something like that. And it's been really, really nice to see people tagging us in as their top listened to podcast of 2020. So thank you to everyone who has. If you have a look at your Spotify end of year playlist thing and find out where in it as well, give us a tag, give us a follow, and
please
send us any suggestions of other guests you'd like us to talk to in the future. We're up to expanding the boat and seeing who else we can get on this mad journey. And please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. If you've enjoyed any of these conversations over the last 2 years, there's a wonderful community that's come out of it. We've made some great friends, and you get a lot of bonus content too, so go and check it out.
If you've listened to 10 episodes of Sapnin Podcast or more, it is now on you to sign up to the Patreon for at least the minimum tier, because 10, if you work out 10 podcasts, that's at least 10 hours of content and nonsense, which I've trademarked, so don't try and use, you know, that's like 20 albums. So least you could do is, you know, chuck us a coffee between me and Morgan. Let me and Morgan sip a cup between us, please. Patreon.com/sapnin. Tidy. Also, my new band, Raiders, if you check us out on Raiders UK on your streaming platforms, we have 4 songs released at the moment. They are called Wasting Away, Destructobot, I Still Function, and Unnecessary V's. And also, today, this Friday, the day this comes out, we have a pre-order up for a new long sleeve hoodie, which you can check out at raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com. And if you're thinking about buying any of the music, now is the day to do so if you're listening to this on Friday, December the 4th, because it's Bandcamp Friday, which means Bandcamp are waiving 100% of their royalties and giving all money to the artist. So if you, not just my band, if you like any band whatsoever in the world, find out if they've got a Bandcamp, and today is the date to support them, December the 4th, Friday, December the 4th.
Well said, Sean. Well said. Because,
thanks, Morg.
Because,
thanks.
You know, we do need to give more attention to the fact that, you know, bands are struggling to make money, especially in the current climate of not being able to tour. So Bandcamp Friday is a great way to do that. But with everything said, shall we get into this wonderful conversation with the hilarious, inspirational, and mad bastard that is Max Cavalera of Soulfly, Killer Be Killed, and everything else?
Yes, yes, we should. Go now. Sapnin!
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin!
Yes! Wow.
Yes!
Awesome.
This week's guest is heavy metal legend, guitarist, singer, songwriter, member of Soulfly, previous member of Sepultura, and the reason we are here today, one of the frontmen of the awesome metal project Killer Be Killed. Ladies and gentlemen, Max Cavalera.
Yes!
How y'all doing?
Good. We're good.
Much better for seeing you.
Yeah thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Hope you guys are doing where are you located at right now? Wales?
Yeah,
we're in Wales, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I have good memories of Wales. I recorded KOZAD there.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Benji Webb from Skindred lives not far from us as well. So
oh, okay.
It's quite
if you
close.
See him, say hi. Tell him hi.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I will. I will. How are you? How have you been?
I'm good, man. You know, with everything that's going on, trying to stay as busy as possible. You know, very excited, of course, for Killer Be Killed dropping the record next week. Also doing this thing I do on the side called Max Tracks, which is just riffing. You know, I do this every Tuesday and Saturday from my couch, live on Facebook, and it's just fun playing metal riffs and telling stories to the fans about those crazy riffs.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know you were doing that. So that's Tuesday and Saturday, you say, is it? Every Tuesday and Saturday?
Yeah, it's... Tuesday, Saturday is like around 2 o'clock our time, Phoenix, Arizona time. And it's very punk rock, like no production. It's just my wife with a cell phone. I'm sitting in a couch with my guitar and I'm showing the riffs that I created in all those 30 years. So it's everything from Roots to Jump the Fuck Up to Arise. So it's a big collection of different ideas. And I tell stories, funny stories, all that events that happened in my life, you know, all everything from, you know, pissing off Lemmy to puking on Eddie Vedder, you know, everything goes. I don't hold nothing back. It's, I throw it all out there.
What happened with Lemmy?
Please tell us about Lemmy. I mean, what happened there?
Lemmy was when we first met. I was in this, it was Sepultura first tour, 89, and we were in London, and we went into a club, I forgot the name of the club, but Lemmy was there playing his little machine video thing, you know, and then of course we, being this, you know, fans of Motorhead, I went past him, you know, so I was like, hey man, I'm from Brazil and I love Motorhead and I love you, Lemmy, you know. After of course I took some liquid courage to approach him, you know. I was a little bit buzzed, a little drunk. For finally, he had enough of me, so he poured his whole whiskey on my head, like, leave me alone, kid, you know. But to me, that was amazing. I was like, I went back to the table with the Sepultura guys, and I told them, I just been baptized, brothers. He just baptized me. This is my baptism, you know. So I don't think I washed my hair for a week. I left the whiskey in my hair, you know, I let the smell of the whiskey in my hair for a whole week. We became friends after that. We toured together, and he was always very nice, very cool to me, man. You know, I really always look up to him.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's an amazing story.
Did you ever tell him that story about when you were a kid, meeting him for the first time?
Because we toured together later on, and I was doing a Kerrang for the shoot. You know, on my crazy idea, I was drinking again, and I had a bottle of wine with me, and I was throwing wine everywhere, you know, during the photo shoot. And I think it kind of pissed him off a little bit. So I mentioned, hey, I'm the kid that was pestering you a couple of years ago, you know. And he said to me, well, you haven't changed.
You're still
pestering me, man, you know. But it was fun. It was fun, really. A person I look up to my whole life, and we actually, I cover one of his songs, Orgasmatron. It was a big hit for Sepultura in the 90s, big song for us. It got us to win an MTV award in Brazil. So we have one of those little astronaut statues that my son actually stole it from me and took it to his house. It's his now. So, but yeah, so many good things came out of that friendship, you know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's such a weird time in the world now, not being able to go out and tour, play shows, meet fans and stuff, but on some level, is it quite nice that, because you're home so much now, that you have this kind of time to reflect on the last 36 years and all these wild stories and adventures you've had in your career?
Well, the cool thing about this time right now at home is that I spent my first birthday at home in 25 years.
Wow.
So every other birthday has been on the road. You know, the last one was Serbia. The year up before that was Poland, in a big Polish festival, the Woodstock of Poland, whatever. But it felt great to be at home for the first time. But also doing the Max tracks, it made me also realize how cool some of those songs were, especially the old stuff. And hopefully that eventually it will influence my writing for the future records coming up. I'm working right now on the new Soulfly with my son Zion. He lives here. So we go to jam 2-3 times a week. It's just me and him jamming, making noise. And I like a lot of the spirit of the song. There's kind of like a rebellious, almost like punk spirit in a lot of the songs, which is not really about the technical aspects, but about the brutal, which is, to me, is the essence of rock and roll. People forget that, man. Rock and roll is supposed to be pissed off. It's supposed to be rebellious, you know? It's not supposed to be technical and pretty. It's supposed to be fucked up, you know? So I love that, and I try to bring that to, hopefully, to the next records I'm going to make. But, I'm, you know, Killer BQ comes out next week, we work on that for 6 years, which is a long time. I never work on a record for this long. And I'm very proud of the record. I think it's cool. And I, you know, I love the guys in the band. I'm a fan of their stuff. You know, I love Mastodon, Dillinger Escape Plan, and Converge. So to play with my, get to play with, you know, so some of my heroes that also happen to be my friends. It's amazing. So it was really fun to make this Killer Be Kill record. Really, I really enjoy it very much. And, you know, looking forward to be released next week and hopefully next year. Go back to tour, man, you know, like, I'll never take for granted being on the stage again. When sometimes I'd be like, oh, I don't feel like being here right now. I could be doing something else. You know, that will never happen to me again. I worship every stage. I be part of it from now on, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I know that feeling. Yeah.
So much, you know?
Yeah. Well, we should explain to listeners, for anybody who doesn't know Killer Be Killed, you guys started in 2011 and you are you're a super group. It's a super metal group. The fantastic Max Cavalera. And then we've got Troy of Mastodon, Ben, who plays drums for Converge, and Greg from Dillinger Escape Plan. So what an unbelievable lineup. Can you just tell us how did that even happen? How did those worlds come together?
Yeah, and in theory, in fact, I think if you put those names on paper, it should not work, man. It couldn't. It's an absolute atrocity that those guys are going to get together and something good going to come out of this, which is part of the magic of it. It is really quite unbelievable that being so different from each other, we actually find a common ground in the metal world that allow us to create these records, you know. But it's cool. I mean, I talked to Greg a lot, and he has this. He told me the feeling that he gets from Killer Be Killed is the same feeling that he had when he was 16 years old playing on his first band, you know. And I think that's awesome because I feel somewhat similar to that. Killer Be Killed is a breath of fresh air in my life, in my career. And it does have a lot of surprises, like real, real cool. Whoa, I can't believe we just made this song, and you're hugging each other, you know, like it's fun. It's like a pure, pure feeling of being part of something very special that shouldn't work, but it worked. Somehow we make it work. Apart from that, there's a little bit of it's a bit like a friendly competition between us. On trying to outdo the other without being too brash, but check this riff out, man. I got this sick riff. And then Greg's like, oh, I got another one. Check this one out. Oh, okay. All right. And then Troy's like, I have one. Check. And the same goes with the vocals. When we start putting vocals on top of the things, you know, like we try to outdo each other. So it becomes this quite amazing friendly competition. I was watching this Wu-Tang Clan documentary. And they talk about this. They're all fighting each other friendly, but they're such good rappers and they're all really battle each other. And the final result is fucking amazing because of that, you know? So I think we bring that kind of same mentality into Killer Be Killed, which is not really common in metal to have that. So I think it's cool that we have that in this group. And it makes it for a really fun result. You get something really good out of it because everybody's bringing the best that they can bring it to the table. And for me, it's really fun because I'm used to be center in Soulfly, in Sepultura. I was always the main guy.
Yeah.
I don't have to do that in Killer Be Killed. It's kind of, I'm on the side now, sometimes just watching and jamming with the guys and just feeling it, feeling the music. Some songs I only sing two lines, man, and I'm cool with it. It's okay. I don't need the attention.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, how did, like, whose idea was the band originally? Did, like, one of you call, did, like, you call Greg or Greg ring round or how did it come about?
Greg called. We just done a song together on Soulfly's Omen record. It was a song called Rise of the Fallen. And Greg killed it on the vocals. It came out great. So I don't have a cell phone, and I never had one. I still don't have one. But he got my wife's cell phone number, and a week after that, he called her, you know, and like, can I talk to Max? And he's like, hey, how you doing, man? We should make a project together, like your nail bomb thing that you had in the 90s, you know? And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm not really looking for another thing. I already have Soulfly and Cavalera. So I'll get back to you later. And then the next week he called me again and he kept pestering me. So finally I was like, okay, man, I give up. Let's do this fucking project.
Yeah, if it means you stop phoning me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, if you stop calling, I'll make the project, you know? I'm glad that he did, because it started as something that was supposed to be like Nail Bomb, but it turned into something totally different with a super group kind of thing when we got Troy in the band. And Troy was funny because I met Troy in Mexico during a festival, and I came up to him and I say, nice to meet you. I'm Max Cavalera. And I think we're in a band together, you know?
That's amazing. That's the best. Yeah, that's the best introduction
moment.
Ever.
Yeah, yeah, surreal moment. Like, yeah, we're in Killer BQ together, you know? So that kind of stuff doesn't really happen all the time, you know? So, so it was Greg's idea, and I'm glad that we stick with it and made it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it does work. It definitely works. I think you can hear, well, when I was listening to it, yeah, you can hear everybody brings their own bit of sound, and I think it complements each other brilliantly. Yeah, you've done a great job, and I'm really excited for the full record.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really fun. We wrote in sessions, and they came here to Arizona where I live, and Greg even joked the other day, we were doing an interview, he say, if you go to the desert and you keep walking in the desert, you will find Max Cavalera in his rift.
Just there playing in the sand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he went in the desert looking for Max in his rifts, and he found it, you know. So so we did those sessions, and it was cool. It was 3-4 days, and then 6 months will go by, and they would do another one, and then another 6 months. So very slow, man, like building something very, very slow. You got to have a lot of patience. And the other thing we did was that we kept it a secret from the world. In a world of internet and there's no secrets, we kept this thing very secret, you know. We even joke about it. We said, rule number one of Killer BQ, you don't talk about Killer BQ. Fight Club. It was like one of those Fight Club quotes. But we did it, man. And I think it was cool because Greg was talking to me and he was like, man, sometimes some bands, they cue the anticipation because you've been hearing about talking about their album for 2 years sometimes. The guy's going to the bathroom with the phone, you know, here I am in the bathroom right now, you know, this and that. And we didn't want any of that. So the label knew we were going to make a record, but they had no idea what was going on while we were writing the songs, you know, so everything was very secret. And it paid off because when we released the first single, it was like a bomb, dropping a bomb in the world. Like, it's here. It's finally here. And it was nice to have like a real true surprise. People were actually real surprised about the band coming back and making another record, which I thought was a cool plan that actually worked, you know?
Yeah, and one of my favorite things about hearing some of the material is that it's not like you guys have just gotten together and gone, right, okay, this is going to be a thrash group or a heavy group or anything like that. You've actually all incorporated some of your favorite and signature sounds over the years into this project and just let you all be yourselves, be as creative as possible. So when you get into a room together, is it just hearing any ideas that come out and work on it?
Yeah, it was a lot of the cool thing about was we did our first shows in Australia. We did the festival called Soundwave, and we got a new drummer band that used to be in Converge, and he was an essential member. Finally, we got this killer drummer that will stay with us, and then we went into this, you know, this desert sessions things, and everybody brought cool stuff all the time. And it was cool because sometimes we wouldn't see each other for 6-8 months. But so when we saw each other, it was a real, truly happy feeling of being in a room with a guy that you really enjoy and you're good friends with him, but you don't have to live with him. You know, you're not with him 24 hours a day. That would have ruined it. You know? So because of that, all the sessions were important. And I think everybody brought something to the table. There is collaboration all around. everybody brought ideas and riffs and vocal melodies. So it was definitely a band effort that it shows on the record.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. And one of the things I really want to talk to you about, Max, is the fact that, like, over the years, if you look at all the projects and all the different bands and stuff you've created and being part in, it seems that you always love to go and write with some different people, if it's guest features on Soulfly or just creating another project like this. I mean, for you, is that something you always look forward to, is stepping out of your comfort zone and seeing what other people have got to offer, see how they create and how they work in the industry?
Yeah, in a weird way, you can say that out of the comfort zone is my comfort zone. You know, it's like I really enjoy, from the beginning, I always thought that metal should do more of these things, you know, and more intersection of players playing with each other, with other bands. And I see more of that now than before. It makes me very happy. You know, you see all the guys collaborate. Of course, I got my bucket list, which includes people like Ozzy and Rob Halford and Bruce Dickinson, you know, the godfathers, or, you know, the metal gods, you know. But I've been lucky to work with a lot of great people, you know, Benji, in the beginning of Soulfly, and Gino from Deftones, and Corey from Slipknot, also with more underground guys too, you know, with like Nails and Cattle Decapitation, and so I'm plugged in with everybody, like with the big names, also with the smaller guys, you know. I don't make a decision because of fame, you know. That doesn't come into the final thing for me. For me, is music is music. Participation is what makes it cool. And most of the time, I try to do it together with the guys in the room. When you can't, you send them the song and they sing on it, which is not as cool, not as exciting. You know, I remember recording Terrorist with Tom Araya. I was always a Slayer fan. So, you know, for the whole week, all I listened was Slayer, you know, like, you know, listen to Halloween and Raining Blood nonstop. And finally, Tom came to the studio and we made the song, and it was amazing. It was just one of the great, great things. And also in the same record, I ended up recording with Sean Lennon, you know, the son of John Lennon. And it was like, he's a Beatles, there's a Beatles blood, royal blood in my house right now. Holy shit.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's mad, isn't it? Yeah, that's...
And he was the nicest guy in the world, the nicest guy. And we did a song for our dads, you know, called Sun Song, that was really cool to sing about such subject.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like we've said, like, you've collaborated with so many people. Has there been anyone in particular who's kind of, like, shocked you with, like, their writing style or the way they work or... the way they do things? Is there anything a bit different of anyone you can remember?
Corey was great. Jump the fuck up. There's a cool story, because I knew he was coming to town while I was in the studio. There was a Slipknot show happening. So I made a plan to drive there and kidnap him from his sound check and bring him to the studio, you know? You know, so we drove there with my friend in a car, and we show up at soundcheck, and I'm like, Corey, you go in the studio with me right now. We're going to record Jump the Fuck Up, you know, which is crazy. Like, who does that? People don't do that kind of shit, man, you know. And he came to the studio, and we recorded, and all the parts fitting perfectly. And I love his vocals on the song. I think it's one of the greatest things he ever done. It is on Jump the Fuck Up. It's actually Soulfly. Our second biggest song on Spotify is Jump the Fuck Up. It's huge. A lot of people love the song, and I think it turned out killer. And then the same night, you know, we drove him back to the venue, and I just ended up just hanging out there and watching Slipknot and getting hammered, getting drunk and headbanging to it. So almost like a perfect day. You know, if I can go back on a perfect day, that would be a perfect day.
Well, you've got to commend Corey for being able to go into the studio, record, and then go and play a show after it as well. Like, fair play to him. That's good.
Plus, he never heard the song. You know, it was this is what I'm talking about. This is the crazy stuff that, you know, it was not like he knew I was coming. I called him, so a week before, I told him that I wanted him to be on the record, and he was excited, but I didn't send him the song. So I show up, grab him from the soundcheck, come to the studio, play the song for the first time, and he starts singing on the spot like that. Like, no bullshit, man. That's cool. That's true. That's truly like artist shit, you know, like you can't be prepared for it. And of course, yeah, he did the show afterward, which is incredible, you know. So what an amazing day. And, you know, I'm a big fan of guys that do stuff like that, you know. On the last record, we had similar thing with Josh Wilbur is a producer of Lamb of God. And I asked Randy to be on the record. So Josh was doing another record with Randy. And he mentioned to Randy, you have to make a song with Max, for Max, you know, Soulfly record. And they record all the other stuff, forgot about my song. They went back to the hotel, and it was like midnight. Josh called Randy, like, we forgot to do the Max song.
No.
They went back to the studio at 1 a.m. and recorded, which is like,
wow.
Salute, awesome. Brother. You know?
Yeah. Dedication.
Like, yeah, they could have pretty much said, fuck off. I'm not doing it. Sorry, Max. I'm going to bed, you know? But yeah, I'm glad that it happened. It became one of the coolest songs. It's a track called Dead Behind the Eyes on the last record that is really powerful, old school stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But if we're reminiscing some guest appearances, I mean, we've got to bring up Bleed with Fred Durst. I mean, one of Sean's favorite musicians of all time. How did that one come about?
Yeah, I mean, I was making his first Soulfly record with Ross Robinson, of course, was a producer of Korn and Limp Bizkit. And I love that first Limp Bizkit record. I really think, especially the guitars, you know, it's a lot of really cool guitar stuff on the record. So it was not really much up to me. It was more like Ross knew him, so he called him, and he came to the studio. Of course, they weren't as big then as they ended up being later, you know? So there's a one funny thing that happened that we cut it out of the record, but in the end of Bleed, Fred goes, oh shit, I just recorded with Max Cavalera. We took the part out.
Oh, no.
We kept that in. It was cool. It was one of those cool moments. But yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun. We ended up doing the video together. He's on the on the Bleed video.
Yeah.
And I think the part that he made for the song, it was killer, because the song is about Dana Gloria's son that was murdered. So it's a very heavy subject about murder and gangs and police, abuse of police, corruption. Fred doesn't know Dana, you know, never met him, but he really captured in his words, you know, when he goes, I put your sorry ass in the package, you piece of shit. See you and deliver from a savage, and now you're going down, you envious clown, fucking Bleed. It was cool, man. It was cool. I'm super proud of that track. You know, I think it came out cool. That whole record was a crazy experience. I was in a crazy spot in my life, just left Sepultura, so I was in really kind of this like no man's land. I had nothing to lose from now on. I have no hope and I have no fear. So I can do whatever the fuck I want, and I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. So this record just went everywhere. You have Brazilian drums, crazy Brazilian guitars. You have Fred Durst. You have Chino from the Deftones. You have Benji doing a song called Prejudice Against Race. It's a crazy fucking record. And I remember that I decided to bury the tapes in the studio ground, because I knew it was burial ground from Indians like 200 years ago. So we buried the tapes. We made these big holes in the ground. We bury all the tapes and let it there for 24 hours, unbury it the next day. And we send it to Andy Wallace in this, you know, wrapped up in plastic full of mud. And Andy Wallace got the tapes. He called Gloria like, why is there mud all over the plastic? You know? Couldn't understand why the shit was all dirty. You know, why is... And it's like, oh yeah, Max buried the tapes in the ground. In my crazy mind, I really believe the power of the record was from burying it in the ground. You know, yeah, it was actually the record went gold in America when we used to sell records, you know, before the stream ruined everything.
Bastards. Yeah.
Bastards.
What a brilliant story. That's amazing.
You don't get that anymore. I mean, people are just sending files over laptops and you know, the album, they just send it over to people.
Yeah, it's because you can't bury an MP3, can you? How can you bury an MP3?
Yeah. I mean, nobody uses those tapes anymore, you know, the big tapes. Not even, like, we don't. It's too expensive and mostly producers don't even, I think, know how to record or don't even want to record on that. That's like no use. But I fell in love with that, the old way school of recording, the analog way, man, which to me, all the great records were done like that. Black Sabbath, Motorhead, you know, those are the classics, and they were done in analog tapes like that. So I always tell that to the guys I'm playing with, that you can use Pro Tools and fix everything and make it perfect, but you can never put personality into the Pro Tools, you know? So your personality is the way you play. And even with mistakes, I think it's cool to keep some of those alive. So I try to, I record with Pro Tools because we have to, but if the guy producer asks me, can I just fly this riff that you play on the second part of the song? I said, no, fuck no. I'm playing this riff. Even if I play slightly different, I'll do one little thing a little bit different. It's the same riff, but I'd rather do it, man. I'd rather, you know, it's like people are fucking lazy. Just play the fucking riff. You're going to have to play it live later on anyway, you know?
That's part of it. And it's, I think, loads of records today, like a lot of metal records I hear coming out are so tuned and so, like, you know, after-affected that you kind of, like, lose the personality and it kind of just feels a bit dumb and just kind of like, in computer, as if a computer had made it. I'd rather personality, like you said, I'd rather you're a bum note than you're, you know, everything perfectly tuned all the time.
Yeah, and it's something that I fight hard for that in my world. That's why all the Killer BQ were all sessions with all the guys. We couldn't send sharing files in a computer, you know, but it was like, I'd rather wait 5 months and be in the room with a guy and show him the riff than send him the riff by computer. It's like kind of loses the attraction, I guess, you know. And it was all right, you know, it was okay to wait. The wait actually make it better, because every time we did those sessions, the 6 months went by, we knew people were going to bring more things to the table. And then we were really excited for the next time we're going to get together. What else is bringing, you know, who else is bringing more cool shit? And it happened every fucking time somebody has something cool that they brought to the record. You know, so that's you can't do that, you know, if you're doing by computer, you know, it's same with the recording. You can quantize, I guess, make it perfect, you know, but the human being is not perfect, you know, and it's like sometimes mistakes are the best things that ever happen in rock songs.
Yeah, you know, correct.
It's, you got to kind of go back to the classic riffs, you know, but I'm sure a lot of it was out of pure, I don't know, frustration or something. This cool riff came out of it, you know, and it wasn't, they didn't need a computer to make it perfect, you know? So I'm old school on the way of thinking, you know?
Yeah.
It's good for the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like you said, November 20th, now the album Reluctant Hero comes out. Who mixed it? Are you all down as producers, or did you have like somebody there as well to help?
Josh Wilbur. Yeah. Josh Wilbur was the producer of the first one, and he's cool because he call you out. Like if you have something that's shitty, he will look at you straight in the eye and say, "This is shit. You can do much better than that, you know." I know you. This is not the best you can do. Go back to the drawing room. And that's it humbles you. And I don't take it personally, man. I told him, you can you can cuss at me. You can tell my shit is sucks. Actually, I like that because it makes me want to go back and try to do something better. So he was that kind of producer, you know, not a ass kissing producer. Sometimes you have a guy that just, every idea you give, you're gonna like, oh, he's beautiful, he's brilliant. Well, sometimes you need somebody with a little bit of filter, honestly, a filter that calls the bullshit. When you're bullshit, you need to be called on it. You know, and Josh did that, you know, and I love working with him. I end up working with him on the Soulfly last record, Ritual. We end up making one of the, to me, it was one of the coolest Soulfly records we ever made, because we have a bit of both things. We have the tribal aspects of old Soulfly, but we also had the extreme metal stuff of the extreme stuff I listened to, all in the same record. So Josh Wilbur is a bit like kind of a Killer Be Cute secret weapon, I guess, you know, like almost like a, not a member of the band, but definitely a huge part of the sound and the ideas of the record.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And obviously you've mentioned you've been working on new Soulfly stuff at the moment while being stuck at home and everything. But how's it coming so far? Is it just you and your son kind of jamming ideas at the moment, or is it their actual thought about what this next record could possibly be?
Yeah, right now it's really in the early stages of writing, just riffs. Right now we're just doing riffs. And the cool thing about Zion, the way he plays drums, is a bit like a wild animal. You know, he has no restraint, man. And he just unleashed on the drum kit. Pure brutality power drumming, you know. And I love that. So that takes me back to a lot of the early records that I like, a lot of the old Entombed stuff, and Carcass and Napalm Death, Out of Control shit, you know. So I think we have that kind of spirit going on a lot of the new tracks, and also maybe from the Max tracks, again inspired by the old songs. I think, you know, the old material becomes an inspiration. So I think we're going to be able to create something unique from all that experience, from the old stuff to the new stuff. Like Killer Be Cute probably be somehow an influence on the record, also in some parts of the record. So we're just going to maybe bring all that into the new Soulfly. And hopefully, I don't know when it's going to come out. I know we're going to record it next year, but I'm not sure it's going to come out next year. I don't know yet. You know, we got to kind of wait and see. But I'm using the time to write, which is great. You know, it's all we can do right now is write music. We were able to do two video clips for Killer Be Cute, which was nice. Deconstruction, Self-Destruction, and Dream Gone Bad, which was done here in Phoenix. And it came out really cool. It's almost like you're having an epileptic seizure when you watch it. That's so much fucking strobe. I told the director, you're the craziest strobe guy I ever work with. You know? And it's cool. I like the energy. I like the energy of the videos. So we're gonna have, you know, keep rolling, have more music for next year.
Nice. When can you be expected to get back in a room with the rest of Killer Be Killed now? Do you have a plan to get together?
We don't have, you know, the last things we did was the videos. There's always the possibility of a streaming show like a Lamb of God just did. I think that's a possibility that we can look at it maybe for next year. And hopefully the pandemic open up and we can tour, you know, because I think this record, it'll be a waste if you don't tour for this record. You know, I honestly think this deserves to be played live. We did those shows in Australia and it was so much fun that we all felt like young teenage kids, even though we're all 50, with great beards, but with a young teenage spirit, you know? So for sure we will look for to a European festivals tour. I would have loved to if Killer Be Kill could play like one of the big UK festivals, you know,
Download or
Reading,
yeah. Reading Leeds,
yeah.
And what's the other one? The real famous one?
Download Monsters. It used to be Monsters of Rock.
Glastonbury.
What else have we got?
Glastonbury. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be the one. Yeah.
I think Killer Be Killer. You'll be killer.
Yeah. Killer Be Killed would be killer. Nice. Yeah. Killer Be Killed in Glastonbury, or you'd scare some hippies. It'd be
I'd
amazing.
Love to see that.
it'd be amazing. Awesome. Yeah.
And Max, just a couple of very quick things now before you go. You've mentioned with New Soulfly in particular, you've been able to kind of get your son involved and had a lot more family aspect as that band's gone on. How has it been for you incorporating him into music and writing with your son and kind of seeing that bond musically as well?
Yeah, that's something that's really special to me. Because since they were born, they were, you know, they were brought up in this metal world. I mean, I have pictures of, you know, early Soulfly stuff, even Sepultura stuff, where my sons, Zion and Igor, are sleeping on top of guitar cases and Ozzy singing in the background, you know?
Wow.
We have pictures of that. It's like insane, you know? So they were born into this world, and of course they could have become doctors or accountants or politicians, but I was always hoping, become a musician, please.
Yes.
No.
Nice.
So they decided, both of them do music. I play, Zion plays drums with me in Soulfly. My oldest son, Igor, has got a great cool band called Healing Magic, and they're kind of stoner type, awesome band, you know. We have a pretty metal family, like a true to the sense. The Sundays here are full of metal. We do barbecues outside with metal blasting, you know. We go outside and we jam metal, we jam. The neighbors love us for it. actually my neighbor is actually pretty cool. He's actually an Aussie fan. I don't know if he likes too much of the heavy stuff I play. The Napalm Carcass shit probably freak him out a little bit. We're a full on metal family that work together. You know, my wife is the manager, and she has great ideas. Max Trax was her idea. I wouldn't change nothing for that, man. That was always what I wanted to create, was this, kind of like metal empire type thing, you know. And I think we are creating that, and it's really cool to be part of a family that everybody is involved somehow in some way or another in the music and what we are doing. And that, and for me, playing with Zion is a blast, and at the same time that can be a pain in the ass. Sometimes I have to bribe him to pay him extra money, like, yeah, I give you $100 if you play this song, you know.
I was gonna say, like, have you ever had to pull the I'm the dad you card? Have you ever been like, you're playing it wrong, I'm your father, play it differently? Have you ever had to like just whip out the dad card?
Yeah, we butt heads a couple times, you know. He tells me I'm too old, I don't know how the world works anymore, you know, and he's probably right. It's probably, you know, I don't have a cell phone, and then, you know, I don't have a Instagram account, and I just don't have things, you know. It's not me. But yeah, but I think we make it work, you know, because I like his enthusiasm and his energy, and even in a lot of the ideas, he brings a lot of, he listens to a lot of hip hop, you know, like that's his music. Like favorite stuff that he listened to. And a lot of the ideas that he comes to me are actually based on hip hop stuff, which is kind of cool because it gives me like a new, different outlook in what we can maybe do with metal, you know? So he does have a lot of cool ideas. So we're going to keep working on that, but definitely, like a proud dad thing, you know, And he gets every record he builds up, you know. Like I say, he's kind of like a wild animal on drums, and that's great. I love that energy. That's the stuff that you can't learn that in school. It's inside of you. It comes out naturally. You know, there's no school for that, you know. His school was behind the sleeping on guitar cases, even sitting behind Soulfly drummers his whole life. You know, he sat behind Joy Mayorga, Joe Nunes, my brother Igor, yeah. You know, great drummer. Yeah, yeah. When we play with Black Sabbath, we ask Bill Ward's wife if he could sit behind Bill Ward. And she said, yeah, you know. And I was fucking jealous of him. I said, I should be sitting there. I'm not a drummer.
Yeah. Incredible. That's very, very, very touching. And just last question from me. You've told some beautiful stories on this. But when we do these podcasts, I always have a little look on the internet to see if there's any wild things I can see to kind of bring up. And I just want to know if this is true. I've seen something that said that you actually appeared on an off-camera role on the Scorpion King film doing the screams for Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character.
Yes.
What?
It's true.
That's mad. That's you voiced The Rock. That's unbelievable. You voiced The Rock.
Yeah. I was approached by them. It was the guy responsible for the sound effects of the movie. It was a big Max Sepultura Soulfly fan, and knew my voice. Kind of knew that my screams were a little tougher than Rock screams. He's probably tougher than me physically.
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
In the throat section, I beat him.
Nice.
I have a bigger scream, and so we did it. We went to LA in a big fancy studio, and I made all these fucking crazy screams. It was the easiest money I ever made. You know, I think we get paid quite good for it. You know, it was one of those crazy things. Like, I can't believe they're paying me for this. You know, one of those situations. I'm getting paid for this shit to fucking scream, you know? But it was cool. My name was in the end of the movie in the credits. They actually put my name. It's kind of fun to flirt with that kind of world. There's been a couple things like songs. There was a Neil Bob song on a movie called, it was a Nicole Kidman movie, Too Young to Die or something, you know? But also, like, Sepultura music has been in a lot of movies, like Talladega Nights. There's Inner Self. When the cars are crashing, they're playing Inner Self. And that's always fun. That's always kind of, but never been approached to actually be in an actual serious movie. You know, I don't think I have the chops for that.
Thank you so much for giving us your time. I literally have one more thing I've got to know about, because when I found out about it, when I saw it about 12 years ago, I remember just, I've always been a big Sepultura and Soulfly fan, and I remember seeing a video on YouTube where somebody put Pavarotti singing Roots. Have you seen the video?
I heard about this, but I heard the song, and I don't know. I mean, it sounds real.
I saw it and I was like, what's the, how has this come together?
Yeah, I have nothing to do with that, personally.
Yeah.
Although I love to take credit for that, I can't. It's one of those crazy internet things.
There's a lot of them, and there's a lot of them.
I don't know if it's true or fake. I don't know, but definitely exists. You know, definitely. The internet is a crazy place, man. You know, it's the craziest memory of it to me was a couple weeks ago I chopped off my big dreadlocks that I had grown for 20 years, and we posted a picture. And it fucking blew up the internet. It was like, it was mad, you know. There was people calling us and wanted to know, is this real? Did you really cut your fucking hair? It's like, yeah, man. It was time.
What have you done with the dreads now? Where are the dreads?
I'm going to bury in the background.
Nice. Well, that's come full circle. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you very much for the music over the years. And yeah, congratulations on Killer Be Killed. The songs that are out now are brilliant. The album is out November the 20th. It's called Reluctant Hero. And I'm really fucking psyched for it. Thank you so much, Max. This has been awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate both of you guys. Keep the good work on the podcast. I actually check out a little bit of the one you guys did with Spirit Box.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, last episode was really cool. So I was excited to be part of this and be talking to you guys. And so
this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable for me to hear. So thank you very much. Yeah. It means the absolute world.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. You're
listening to Sabi Podcast. Yes.
Oh, see, I'm guessing that's Spanish. Is that Portuguese as well? Because that's what they speak in Brazil. They're Portuguese. I just realised how stupid that was of me to ask both me and you, who cannot even speak English, let alone any other language. Again, thank you very much. Thank you very much to Max Cavalera. Even just saying that is mental to me. Like, that's so funny. What a great guest. What a lovely fella. I wasn't expecting it. And yeah, he was brilliant. He was amazing. And I had to get my Pavarotti question in at the end there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember that video kind of going viral years ago. For people who don't know, there's a video online. If you type in Pavarotti, Roots, Bloody Roots, somebody's like overdubbed themselves doing a Pavarotti impression over Soulfly. And I just needed to know what Max thought of it. And just if he'd known about it, and he did know about it. So
Well, that's the thing, Sean. If we've got these icons of certain genres,
icons, mind. Are you saying icon? Is it a small I and a big C? Icons, icons. Like,
sorry,
icons.
I sat on the cap blocks then. But if we're getting like icons of certain genres on the fuck off on the podcast, then we should ask him these wild questions that nobody else is going to. I mean, I wanted to know about the invoice in The Rock. So Pavarotti, The Rock, Max Cavalera, it's all going
it's
on.
Mad, isn't it? Yeah. Well, yeah, I learned enough. Because you didn't previously tell me before we started talking about him about that Rock bit, and I'm thinking that's a little bit slimog, because really we should be sharing information
but at the same time
to bring up at any point rather than you just wait there now rather than you holding on to the information, right, so you can show off with your good questions that fucking nobody expects, right? And there's me like literally mouth open going, he did what? It's like almost as if I'm the surprise guest on the podcast going, you fucking did what, Max? You're The Rock's voice. Unbelievable.
But that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing, because your reaction alone is worth the soundbite to increase the excitement on the podcast. Yeah. So,
well, I tell you what, then. From now on, we won't have any guests, right? And you just tell me facts about somebody we might have had on. Right, you tell me weird facts about people we might have had on and I'll react. We've become a reaction podcast now, we have. Jesus Christ. But yes, what a great chat with Max. Thank you very much. Check out Reluctant Hero by Killer Be Killed right now. It is out on Nuclear Blast. And big shout out to Emma Van Diz, as always. What a legend. What a hero. I love her.
Yes, same here. It was just great to hear how passionate Max was about everything. As Sean mentioned, go and check out the new Killer Be Killed. I'm very excited at the possibility that they'll eventually get to play the UK or Europe or anything like that. And keep an eye out for Max's Max tracks that he'll be performing twice a week online as well. But Sean, we've been very busy lately. Obviously, you know, it's coming to the end of 2020 now. It's been a hectic year, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the new year to come and some guests we've secretly been recording behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've got some fantastic podcasts to come out now over the next couple of weeks and months. Including some other legends that fucking nobody was expecting us to be able to probably get to and even get on, because you would have thought like somebody would have done some research for them and then would have gone, no, don't come on there, don't go on there. But they have. So yeah, I can't wait. Yesterday you made me aware of the fact that we have an episode coming out on Christmas Day.
We do, yeah.
Which is a little bit worrying, but we'll probably have to do something festively special, I think, for that. So we'll see. We'll see what we can do. We can see what we can pull out.
Well, to tell you right now, Sean, I did message someone and he said that he's got a list and he's going to be checking it twice just to see if one of us is either naughty or nice.
I thought you had emailed the fella we were talking about yesterday and he'd already got back to you. Remember that? Remember that fella?
But we'll do, just to let everyone know, Christmas Day, we will put something out because, you know, we're nice like that. As a gift from us to you, there will be some stupid, silly, and possibly funny content for you to listen to on that day and to keep updated with everything surrounding Sapnin Podcast and who we're going to have on. Why not go and follow us on social media at Sapnin Pod? We say it every week because I know there's loads of you who listen who don't follow us on stuff.
Bastards, they are. They're called bastards. Yep, at Sapnin Pod, at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast, Apple, Spotify, Acast, wherever, and let us know some suggestions of who you want in future weeks, maybe next year, and just your favorite memories over the last 2 years of this. And of course, we need to give a massive shout out to our Patreon community. That's patreon.com/sapnin. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be able to happen each and every Friday. If you go and check out that page, there is loads of exclusive content that we only put up on our Patreon wall. We dig out stuff from both Sean and my past and just create stuff for everyone to enjoy. So that's patreon.com/sapnin.
That sounded really dodgy then when you said we dig out things from our past.
Yeah, I didn't. I did one of those things where I started a sentence and didn't really know where I was going to end it. But what I meant is that we've just found stuff from the archives of my former career as a radio host and your time in the blackout.
What's your former career?
Well, this is, I'm not on radio now, am I? I'm on this. This is a podcast.
Oh no, I know, but it's not. You can't be a future. There's no reason you can't be a future radio presenter.
That's true. Well, might make a comeback. Never.
Radio make a comeback now. When Brexit happens now, when everything's absolutely fucked and everyone's crying again and we go back to World War II rations like everybody seems to want, perhaps radio will make a massive comeback and you'll be back in Radio Cardiff. King of Radio Cardiff, I reckon. Yeah. Well, they'll change your name to Radio Morgan. That's what they should change your
right,
name
this too. Has gone way off the rails. Is there anything nice you'd like to mention about the Patreon, or are you going to have a go at them?
Oh, the Patreon people? I love them. You know I love them. They know I love them. They better fucking know I love them because, Jesus Christ, I tell them every week and to the point where I think they think I'm being sarcastic now. But I do genuinely love them all very, very much. Yeah, thanks to all the people who are part of the Patreon. If you're considering it, not thank you yet, do it. Yeah, in the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, do it. Come on, you son of a bitch. Join the Patreon. And of course, not only are there people mentioned in the description of this episode, which Morgan has written out beautifully by hand.
Thank you.
He used a pen. Yes, he used a pen. But also we need to thank the very top tiers of our Patreon who have changed some of their names. So here we go.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Janelle. I thought stealing Morgan's tracky bottoms would make me rich. It didn't. Castan, Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Young, Dilly. I sold Morgan's tracky bottoms for a night with Adam Driver, but ended up with Warwick Davis Grimwood. Do you know what? I think Warwick Davis is probably more attractive than Adam Driver. Anyway, Sarah, I might have Morgan's missing tracky bottom and burnt him in a fire with his curtains. James, what's this about your tracky bottoms, bud? Why are they?
If you recall on last week's episode, there was a bit where I mentioned I started crying because I couldn't find tracky bottoms. So I think what they have done is used the humour of that story to try make me cry again on the podcast. So listen to the end to find out if I do cry.
That's good. Stick with us, everyone. Paul bottom our fish, titwanks for the win, Urshfield. That was in regards to what would you prefer, the top half of the mermaid or the bottom half? Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Kelly Owen, Michael Engler, Kat Besant, Amadine Urbano loves Kelly Young so much. Lorimar Sanchez, Loz, what a legend. Tony Michael, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Scott, I have Morgs missing tracky bottoms, or do I Jones? Bert, Simon Amos, Jody Shannon, Ollie selling a pair of tracky bottoms for a fiver. I love how much the Patreon love having a go at us, pair of chits. Kate Stevenson, Danny Eaton, thank you again, Danny. Jenny, the sharpshooter, Munster. Lucy Deeds, Becky Andy, Martina McManus, Emily Senegals, Kelly Mallory, John and Emma, Erin Howard, Jason Oredia, Jenny Robson, Marcy Jacobson, Louis Cook, Sandra Kuwacek, Craig Top, our fish it is, Aris, Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Circumcise, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Tadlula Grant, Stuart, I might have Morgan's missy tracky bottoms and I'm never giving them back, McNaught, Sharifa Wadali, Lydia Henderson, Dana Lasnava, Julia, what do you call a Spanish pop punk band? Hispanic at the Disco Ravage.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not my word. Not my word. I'm reading, right? I am reading. Take it up with Julia Ravitch, anyone, right? TJ, I have a particular set of skills and stealing Morgan's tracky bottoms is one of them. Ambler Shattuck. Thank you very much for joining. Crisp Tarrant. Nice one. Nice one, Josh. Adam Parslow. And last, by no means least, Alice has floppy wood. That is weird. They are brilliant. Thank you very much to all of those people. I appreciate you very, very much. Please never die.
I don't know which one of you actually does have my tracksuit bottoms, but I will find you and I will ask for them back.
Oh, okay. Well, you can ask them back. Yeah, you don't have to find them then.
Okay, if anyone finds tracksuit bottoms, I would like a pair. That's not.
Oh, no. So, you just want a pair of tracks? You bought any pair of tracks, not the ones you lost.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds like I'm asking someone to send. This has gone way.
Yeah, look, it's Christmas. Oh, we should. Can you put some sad music in the background of this? Right. Hey guys, it's Christmas, and little old Morgan's legs and feet are cold. If you could supply £2 a month, you could help keep Morgan's thighs and calves warm. Check out patreon.com/sapnin or little Morgan will lose his legs.
That was dark.
It went dark towards the end, but I couldn't help it. I was going to go with frostbite, but I just went with loses and I couldn't think of frostbite, so I went with legs.
Okay.
Cool. Any more? Raiders stuff is out. Check it out. Yeah. Raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com, I guess. What about you, a band, Morg?
My band is not formed yet. I'm waiting for Adam Lazara from Taking Back Sunday to realise that, you know, me and him should form a band together. But you can follow me on my social media pages at @MHRichards_ on Twitter and Instagram. Have a laugh at me trying to model and like my tweets, I guess.
Nice. I'm at Sean Smith Sucks on Twitter and Fake Sean Smith on Instagram. And due to both of those names, I cannot get verified on either platform. So that's brilliant. Please give me a follow. It's mainly misery.
As you like to say, Sean, everything is turned to shit. Fuck yeah.
F yeah. Yeah. Tidy. Well, yeah, this has been episode 106 of Sapling Podcast with the amazing Max Cavalera. I'm going to laugh every time I say his name because it's ridiculous to me that he came on, and I fucking love it. Cheers again to Max. Cheers to Emma. Cheers to anybody who supports us in any way, shape or form. If you've shared it, liked it, rated it, sent it to a friend, that means the absolute fucking world to us, right? And I had to swear to show you how much that means to me, right? Because it's the only way I can prove feelings towards anything is by being aggressive. I love you very much. Don't you dare fucking die, right? And it's only 25 days to my birthday as well. So, you know, if you want to support the Patreon, if you join the highest tier and you've done it for my birthday, put in brackets, just for Sean. So I know it's for my birthday and Morgan won't get a fucking share of it.
Wow.
Tidy! You know you will. You know you fucking will.
Sapnin!
Yeah. Sapnin! bloody hell.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.